Hello and welcome back to Passive Income Pilots, everyone. Tate Duryea, Ryan Gibson here. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am good. It's the end of a long day, but you know, the show must go on, man. We're having fun, and you know, there's always something to talk about.
We were just talking for the last like day about my favorite topic. Actually, we were talking all day today about probably my favorite thing ever in the world. And if anybody knows who I am or knows me personally, like I've always had a side hustle, always, always been moonlighting my entire life. So, it's
so Ryan, we're talking about side hustles today, right? Airline pilots have it pretty good, right? Lots of days off, free travel, pretty much anywhere. You know, if you have a big family, maybe it's more or less useful. But why do we need side hustles? Why are we even talking about this?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you the story about how I went on a big journey to start a side hustle in the airlines. And I'll just tell you that this is not for everybody, right? So you've got to listen to yourself. You got to take the call, and the voice in your head that's telling you, right? I mean, you know, I hustled hard to pay for all my flight training. I was selling Cutco knives, you know, going to high school, paying for all my flight training. And it was like a really fun journey, right? Because I like learned sales. I saw over 300 customers, sold tens of thousands of knives, very rewarding, a lot of pay. And I got all my flight training done in high school for the most part. So by the time I went to college, I had a couple more hours to kind of pick up, and then boom, right out of college, the year was 2005, got hired by Masaba Airlines. I'm in ground school and I'm like, oh my God, I made it. I'm 21 years old. I'm going to fly a Avro RJ85. This is so cool. And then, you know, I get through training by the skin of my teeth. It was hard, you know, super fun. And get out to the line and I'm getting on my first flight. I'm going Minneapolis to White Plains, New York. And I'm like looking down. I'm barely keeping up with what the schedule is. And I look down at my schedule and I go, what do we do for 21 hours in White Plains, New York?
That's like a great layover city.
And the captain looks at me and he goes, you can do whatever the hell you want, man. I'm like, where do we go? Where do we stay? He's like, well, we stay at the, I don't know, some Hilton or whatever. And I was like, well, what is there to do there? He's like, I don't know, man. Maybe some football's on, or, you know, grab some dinner. And, you know, they got some free bikes in the lobby. I'm just like, so I get to the layover and I am just like, oh my God, I am jumping out of my skin. Like, can I get a job at a local cafe and work there every time I come to White Plains? I mean, you know, of course I was making like, you know, 20 grand a year, 18 grand a year or whatever that first year. So I was just, my brain was just turning like, what can I do with my time? Right. This is before podcasts, before webinars, before I knew anything about real estate investing, before I even read any books on it. And so like, that was like the spark, right? And if that's not really what you want, and then, you know, eventually what that ended up me turning into is building a self-storage empire, you know, in my layovers, right? And so like, if that's not necessarily like, you know, and you can scale that. You don't have to go build a $1 billion portfolio of storage, but you know, you could also just make some things on the side. And also, I think a really cool thing to do as a like kind of a side gig is like become educated, you know, in something, right? I mean, we have podcasts, we can learn about investing and real estate. Yeah. And, you know, eventually you might say, hey, I'm ready to pull the trigger on some stuff. So I would just say, listen to what you really want to do. And then just, you know, set boundaries, you know, if you can, and, you know, kind of work your way backwards. I mean, I think that was really what the spark was for me, was just kind of the boredom and the layover.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of really cool things you can do now with the internet and what's available in your layovers.
That's such a good story. I love that. I'll add to it by just saying that there are different eras in life as well. You know, I made it to the majors at 23 and I didn't particularly want to, you know, I did buy my first house when I was, I don't know, 24, 25, because I was saving my nickels and I was really focused on real estate. But in my later 20s, you know, life was really good. And it was like, you know, I wasn't motivated to, you know, go get a side hustle or build a business. And that's okay. Some people, you know, they've got young kids. It's important to listen to the era that you're currently in. At some point, you know, the kids are out of school. Maybe it's time to go and explore some personal growth with something else. What I'll transition to is a concept that I've always, you know, thought to be true, which is it's easier to make an extra $1,000 a month than it is to save $1,000 a month. Prove me wrong. For all you airline pilots out there that'll jump through hoops to save $20, if you really add that up and the effort that it takes to save $1,000 a month, I would argue that it's easier, especially once you find a path to it, it's easier to make an extra $1,000 a month.
I agree.
All right. So today, I think you're probably catching the gist. We're going to be talking about side hustles. And I know this show is called Passive Income Pilots, but before it's passive, it's got to be active. You got to find the cash somewhere to go and invest it to create passive income streams. So there's a lot of ways that you can go and make additional money. And we're going to talk about some ideas and some of our thoughts around side hustles. So with that,
let's get to the show.
Welcome to Passive Income Pilots, where pilots upgrade their money. This is the definitive source for personal finance and investment tactics for aviators. We interview world-renowned experts and share these lessons with the flying community. So if you're ready for practical knowledge and insights.
All right, everyone. So episode 149 here. It's amazing. 149 episodes.
A lot of episodes, a lot of talking. Thanks for listening.
It's been a blast. So one of the things I want to preface this conversation with is that if you are going to go out and roll up your sleeves, you're going to get a side hustle, you're going to make all this extra money, please, one, be disciplined. Don't go spend it all, because then it's like, what's the point? You know, you can always make more money. You can't make more time. Enjoy your life, right? So be disciplined. And number two, have a tax mitigation strategy in mind. We've dedicated, God, I don't know, probably 100 episodes on how to mitigate taxes. So have an idea of how you're going to mitigate taxes on that. Because remember that every extra dollar you make is going to be at the top, right? So if you're making $400K a year and you go out and you make an extra dollar, it's your 401st dollar. And that $1 is going to sit on top of the pile and it's going to be exposed to the highest tax rates.
Absolutely. And one other favor to do yourself before you endeavor on anything, the number one thing you have to do as an airline pilot, in my personal opinion, is you have to learn your collective bargaining agreement.
Absolutely.
He who knows the contract makes the gold or gets the time off to actually do the things that you can do a side hustle on. So do yourself a favor. You know, it's so amazing now that you can use like Claude or Gemini or ChatGPT, and you can take the contract and it like help you break it down.
Yes.
Right. Like, I mean, these are tools that like we didn't have, right? When we were getting started flying, we actually had to read that thing. Right. And I know a lot of people just like to go to this section about pay and look at the pay scales and all that. We all know that that's not where the real money is made. The real money is made in the work rules, understanding what kind of days off you can get, trips touching or vacation pay or time off or swapping days or whatever it is. You need to know that inside and out really well so that you can set yourself up to do things on the side as well. So it's a really important nugget, I think.
I think that's so good that you mentioned that, because you know, I'm very fortunate. I grew up in an aviation family around uncles who are always talking about, you know, bidding 6-day trips that overlapped a 2-day training event and getting, you know, the trip bought off and getting paid for more of it. You know, I kind of came up around that. I talk to a lot of military pilots who are just transitioning to the airlines and they're just getting their feet wet. And they're like, what do you mean I don't have to be, you know, I mean, I always joke that when I was teaching the simulator that we'd get done with a 4-hour simulator block and the brief and debrief would kind of be short that day. And they'd go, well, what do we do now? And I'd say, go home.
Wherever you want.
Whatever you want, you know? So in any case, it sometimes is new. It's a new concept to newer airline pilots that maybe didn't grow up around that, that there is money in that contract. And, you know, like it or not, it's a union job and you can use those work rules to your benefit.
And the only other disclaimer I'll give is don't bring it into the cockpit, right? Like we all know the guy or the gal that we've flown with that's talking on the phone in the jet bridge and it's like, all right, let's go. Let's get in the pre, like, you know, keep it professional, keep it separate.
Definitely.
You know, I always make sure, you know, you're well rested and you're not doing something that is going to jeopardize your, you know, multi-million dollar career. Right. And I think that's so important, is like, nothing is more annoying than the guy that's got their business and it's like all up in your, daily life, and you got to like live with that when you go to work. So just keep it professional, keep it separate. But with that out of the way, let's talk about some stuff. Let's get into it.
Yeah, let's throw some ideas around. Okay, so we've come up with a list for people to kind of ideate on. First one is aviation related stuff. So one that comes up all the time is side flying. Of course, you have to respect the FAA limits. You got to maintain, stay within the 121 limits of flight and duty times. But anybody ever thought about going flying for, you know, a contract gig for $1,500, $2,000 a day? They're out there. And if you're sitting on reserve and you're not flying all that much, you could use your days off to do some contract work.
Yeah, just dive into your FOM, make sure that it's completely clear with your chief pilot or whatever your rules are for your airline, you know, for that.
Yes.
Number two, I actually personally did for 5 years, aviation consulting. So you can actually be a consultant and help with a litany of things. So for example, I worked for a contractor that had a big contract with the FAA and a bunch of other aviation shops, you know, different corporate flight departments and things like that. And I actually, some of the work that I did was on Capitol Hill, where when the FAA had some aviation rulemaking proceedings, like I helped staff the aviation rulemaking committees. I helped in other projects, regulations, do different types of studies on air traffic flow and things like that. And that can pay really well. And it's really fun, actually. I loved my time doing aviation consulting because it was doing things that I was passionate about, like doing a study about traffic flows at an airport or human factors issues. And you're basically getting paid to take your talent that you already know that you've acquired over a massive amount of time flying the line. And you're basically helping with real practical knowledge on, from a pilot's perspective. And what's great is, you know, these gigs are, can be sometimes done remotely. You know, if you do a good job and you're a good communicator, you can do these things on the road. You can do them on your layovers, you know, and things like that. And it can be very lucrative.
How do you get into that? That's a question that would be in my mind if I decided, you know, oh yeah, I think I could consult. How do you get a mentor in that area? Like, how did you get into it?
Here's my story. And this is a, you know, a story of hustle that you can apply pretty much in anything you do in your life. So the year was like 2009, terrible time to be an airline pilot, right? I mean, it was, you know, GFC, furloughs, things like that. I actually was volunteering for ELPA as a, I can't remember the exact thing, but it was a volunteer to help the furloughees, right? The furloughs that had happened, you were kind of helping people in their transition out and questions that they had and things like that. So I volunteered, right? Because I was still on the line. And one of the people that actually had gotten furlough, I said, was connecting with this individual and I said, hey, you know, what did you do while you were on furlough? And she's like, well, I was an aviation consultant. I was like, oh, interesting. Tell me more about that. So she told me more about it and I looked up the name of her firm and I looked at who worked there and I actually found a couple of people that I actually knew or one person I knew and I sent them an email and I said, hey, would you mind talking to me for a little while on like what this entails and what it is? And so she did. She was very kind with her time. She spent a couple hours with me on the phone and then she's like, actually, I'm going to the FAA in a few months and when I tender my resignation, I'll put in a recommendation for you. So that's how I got the job. So you can kind of Google or search like aviation analysts, aviation consultants, things like that. And it's actually like, you know, it's really good. The thing about being a consultant though, guys, you just have to remember like, you know, you're not making passive income. Like you're exchanging your time for your dollars.
Well, that's what today's all about.
Yeah. But you know, I gotta be honest, like that extra income was the income that I used to seed Spartan Investment Group. That hundred... Right. Or so $1,000 that I made during my course of my time working there part time. That was literally my first down payment on the Spartan project. So,
yeah.
Or my first capital contribution. So it can add up very quickly.
Yeah, you know, something that comes to mind there is you were saying you could Google around or something like that. Social media is very powerful for this. You know, groups like the Pilot Network. We've had Adam Juhan on. He runs, I mean, that group's like 25,000 people, all airline pilots, right? So that would be a good network to join either on Facebook or otherwise. LinkedIn, you could search aviation consultants, just cold outreach. In any case, some ideas in terms of maybe getting on the phone with somebody that can show you the way, whether it's consulting or any of the other things we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. And here's the thing, guys, like the world is way more connected than it was in 2009.
Yeah.
Right. So like there's so many LinkedIn networks. I mean, all the things that you can do. I mean, it's easier to kind of connect up into that.
Number three, drone or aerial photography. drone pilot, aerial photography. We make a lot of fun of Part 107 pilots, I think, as a pilot group. But hey, if you want to go get your 107, you're going to have a much easier time studying for that airspace test than somebody off the street, right? There's a huge, huge industry around this. Real estate photography, construction surveys. I actually used to fly, when I was 18 years old, I used to fly a woman who was a construction photographer, 152. She'd rent the plane and I'd fly around and I'd have to fly around in a slip with the window all the way open. She'd photograph construction sites. That's a thing. And obviously that's done with drones now. And because these are big, eight-figure, nine-figure projects, they need licensed contractors to do the work. They're not going to hire their nephew. Agriculture, film production, pipeline. I mean, it goes on.
And here's the thing, guys, like everybody expects drone photography now, right? Like if you buy a house or a commercial property, like I've actually hired, when I bought a portfolio throughout the Southeast, I actually went to one company and then they had contracts across the Southeast states of drone pilots that could come out and just like fly around the properties that I was at. So it can be very, what you want to do. And I know this is not on our list, but very apropos to that is real estate appraisers.
Yes.
You can become a real estate appraiser and sort of just like accept the work as it comes in and things like that.
Definitely. You can also hire a bunch of drone pilots to work for you, build a company out of it, right?
Totally.
Instead of you flying the drone, you know how many high school kids know how to fly drones? Get them licensed, put them under you, and you build the business around it, because a high school kid isn't really going to know their way around building a website, having a marketing background, and taking professional calls with professional companies, but then you can send them out and do the work.
But the next one, my favorite one, well, maybe my second favorite one, but my fourth, number four, I know it's really frustrating when we don't have CPDLC and we have to write down clearances. But just get your phone out and you can film yourself taking the clearance down and then you can become a YouTube star.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. Influencers. Yeah, this is aviation blogging, YouTube channels, aviation podcasting. There you go.
There you go.
If you're flying with me, please don't do it. But, people click on it. And no disrespect to anybody out there that's trying to put together, quality content.
All right. Next one I wanted to bring up, actually, it wasn't on our list, but I do want to bring it up. I actually did this side hustle for a little while and it was super fun. You help pilots prepare for airline interviews.
Yes.
And honestly, that was probably the most rewarding thing. Don't tell anybody this. Well, I guess people are listening, but I probably would have done that for free. I actually really enjoyed it. Like, you can schedule the time on your time. You can do it remotely. And I think I helped about 100 pilots train for their interviews and they all passed. I never had anybody fail an interview, which was super fun. And usually what you can do is you can kind of contact the flight school or the outlet that's doing the aviation interview. And you can just ask them if you can be added to their contact list. And with all the aviation hiring going on, I mean, I don't know what they pay anymore. I think I got like $300 or $400 like per session. And it was like a 1 hour session, but I really liked that because it was very rewarding. Commonly you get the picture like, hey, I just got hired, like in front of the selection committee or whatever. And so, it was pretty rewarding to do that. And it's something you can kind of do at your own time and your own pace.
Absolutely. I know a few groups that have turned those into huge companies and, you could start one-on-one and build from there, but that's a really good call out. The next one that I'll mention is designated pilot examiner, DPE. Remember that envelope full of cash that you had to stuff in, to give to your check ride? The day you showed up for your check ride when you were in pilot training? Well, you can be one of those. You can be an FAA designated pilot examiner and give people check rides. I actually know a few fellow pilots at my airline that do that on the side and they make a killing. I think it's up to like $1,500 for a check ride now. It's wild. Ryan, you did a tailwheel endorsement. You didn't do a check ride.
I did an endorsement. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. So, but very, very lucrative. And they're obviously like dropping trips because they're like, oh, I can make a ton doing this DPE stuff. So, and we're undersupplied, obviously, if they're charging $1,500 a month. And I know for a fact, I've got friends in flight training that can't get check rides because they're booked 6 weeks out, 8 weeks out. Definitely an interesting one. I'd check it out.
Yeah. And if you're a tailwheel pilot too, I mean, that they seem to be kind of like a dying breed, You know, it's hard to get instructors, you know, do that. So if you want to get into that, that's always something that's A, fun, and B,
fun way to get back into GA too.
Yeah, I think it's the best flying you can do. Yeah, so the next one, I would say aircraft sales and brokerage. I think I've always may have flown with a person that has actually been brokering the sale of an airplane. We already know airplanes. We already know the industry. This kind of just fits really nicely into what we already do. And I think, you know, sales is a skill you want to learn no matter what. And I think having that sales skill and connecting that with your flying career, I think is a really great way to do it. And I think a lot of pilots do it. So it's almost kind of expected that a broker may also be kind of moonlighting as a pilot anyway. So could be great. Commissions could be like 2-5% of aircraft value. Yeah, which is really good.
One of my very good friends started an aircraft brokerage company. And I mean, he makes a lot of money. If you have a sales background, or if you are just a naturally good communicator, you're a good salesperson, definitely something to check out. I know that he was always looking for good people.
You know, and one thing I did want to add, I just thought of, you know, go to the NBAA, the National Business Aviation Association.
Yes.
They throw a big conference. If you're like kind of curious about all the different companies out there, people who offer consulting, people who offer, you know, maybe side ferrying gigs for flying airplanes or things like that, just go to that convention. A, it's an amazing convention. And B, literally all the sort of business related companies kind of go there and set up a booth. And the expo hall, it can be really enlightening to learn about all the different things you can do in aviation. It's not something that like an airline pilot would normally go to, but it might expose you and your kids, your family, whatever it is, to like more opportunities in aviation.
Which, I mean, if you're an airline pilot, you're probably one of the most experienced pilots there. I mean, you know, there are some very, very experienced corporate pilots, but usually, just like you said, airline pilots typically don't venture over to NBAA, right?
Yeah.
And so if you're the person who's like, yeah, I got 15,000 hours and I've got a A330 or a 73 type, you know, you're going to be an interesting person to talk to at that conference.
Yeah. And there might be like I said, a consulting firm there that does like writes manuals or does your safety management systems or whatever it might be. And you just might be that perfect subject matter expert to jump in and do that.
Yeah. And that kind of leads into the last thing, which would be aircraft management. So, you know, corporate flight departments have maintenance scheduling, pilot hiring, hangar arrangements, insurance, that can pay between, you know, $1,000-$3,000 a month per aircraft. And it's something that you might be able to do remotely.
100%. All right, let's go non-aviation.
Yep.
Non-aviation side hustles. Hey, maybe we just got too much aviation going on. Real estate investing. Have we ever heard of this? Have we ever talked about this, real estate investing?
Well, it's funny. When you look up the top 10 most lucrative side hustles for pilots, the most lucrative and the top is real estate investing.
Real estate investing. I like
Airbnbs,
it.
Airbnbs, rental properties. Commercial real estate syndications, you know, because, well, why do you think Ryan and I talk about it all the time? It's a lucrative industry and it builds wealth over time.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, some are more active than others. Obviously, you're going to go out and buy a bunch of rental properties and Airbnbs. It's going to be very active. And if you're going to do syndications, it'll be active maybe in the front part of it and then very passive after that. And obviously, if you're going to develop real estate, that's, I think, the hardest thing you can do in real estate, most time intensive thing when you're actually going out and building properties. So just...
It's also immensely technical.
Yes. Buyer beware. If you're going to do development, buckle up. You're in for a fight and a lot of headache. But, you know, hey, maybe a big payoff. You know, the nicer properties that you buy, typically the less work they are. So everything in between. So, all right.
And keep in mind that real estate is very long-term focused. It's not a, you know... I don't know how well it fits into the sort of side hustle category because it is a multi-decade journey. It's a wealth building strategy. It's not like a, hey, how do I make an extra $5,000, $10,000 a month?
Absolutely. You know, one thing that wasn't on our list that I wanted to bring up that some of our listeners do, which I thought is extremely interesting. Now, this is going to require, you know, a lot of work, frankly, right?
And money.
And that's, you know, FedEx Ground doesn't actually employ most of its drivers directly. It actually contracts with independent business owners. And that really allows you to run like a small trucking operation to deliver packages to assigned routes. So basically you're going to manage sort of the drivers and the trucking and the shipping as a contractor to like FedEx Ground or something like that. And I thought that was like a really interesting business. Separate to that, I know there's franchises like UPS stores that you can run in franchises and things like that. And I know in episode 95, we talk about all about franchises. We actually had Nick on from the guy who started College Hunks Hauling Junk. Shout out to him. He has a podcast that talks about other business owners and things like that. So if you want to check out his podcast, fun fact, I'll take full credit, me and Tate. Our podcast actually inspired him to start his podcast. That's a little fun fact. But if you're interested, like College Hunks Hauling Junk has a franchise. And you know, you can be the franchisee and you can start a franchise in your market. And that's like a moving company, right? So a lot of different franchise opportunities that you can have if you kind of believe in sort of something that you think there, it has tailwinds or has a market segment that's going to do really well. You can definitely get into franchises.
Franchising, just for anybody that doesn't have their head wrapped around it, I'll give you a little teaser of what's in that episode. Basically, franchising is like you're going to buy a ready-made business out of a box. And then you're going to be responsible for sort of running the script. But that script has already been written for you. You don't have to go like Entrepreneur 101 and start from scratch and figure out how to do everything. So if you have more of an inclination to follow instructions and you have some cash to invest into it, that might be something for you. If you want to stay super scrappy and you don't want to spend a couple hundred grand to get into a business that then is going to take quite a bit of time to manage, you know, maybe not for you, but go listen to episode 95. Very interesting there.
And Tate, you made me think of something, right? Which is a franchise is a pre-existing model that you can buy into. The downside is you got to pay royalties and stuff like that, but you have this out of the box business. But a lot of popular trends right now are people going out and buying actual businesses, right? And I know that we had Colin Hathaway on who talked about buying home services business. He's rolled up a bunch of plumbing and electrical companies. And, you know, there's a bunch of places you can go to find businesses for sale. You know, bizbuysell.com, BizQuest, Flippa, Empire Flippers, Acquire.com, et cetera. I will just warn you that you're not the only one who's thinking about buying an existing business. This has become sort of this like super popular space.
It's become very, very saturated.
Yeah. Very saturated. Like Cody Sanchez is out there like selling courses on how to buy businesses. Like more millionaires, I think, are being made by like selling the course on how to buy the business. Right. And there are people who are actually successful in buying them. And I'll be honest, like I know a lot of entrepreneurs that are trying to buy these businesses and they look at hundreds of these things before finding the right one. So it's not a quick process. It can be very tedious, and just make sure you do your due diligence on what you're buying, because you could be buying a business and way overpay for it. So a lot of strategies there, but that's a whole thing that you can get into.
I want to bring up a story about a pilot that I was flying with that I thought was really interesting. And this guy had a legitimate side hustle. He was installing invisible dog fences. And, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, right? So I immediately, you know, was like, that's awesome. Like, tell me more. I want to hear about it. Like, how'd you get into this? And he had stumbled upon this product that was superior to the invisible dog fences that everybody in the Arizona market that he was in was installing. And so he became the distributor for this. And, you know, he, for a few reasons, this product was far superior. And, you know, I was talking to him and I'm like, okay, well, what's your long-term plan? He's like, well, I don't know. Like, I do the work, I take the calls, I do everything. And I'm like, okay, here's how you could scale it is, you know, what if you, I go, okay, where are your bottlenecks, right? And his bottlenecks were one, sales, and two, that he was doing the installs. I'm like, okay, so the first thing you need to do is find some labor to come and be your installers. The second thing you need to do is hire a sales team. I go, you know who would be perfect for that? Call some roofing companies and see if they have extra, you know, some sales guys, because roofers go door to door, they cold call, seeing who needs new roofs, and they'd be perfect for it. It was kind of difficult for him to overcome this idea of him doing everything. And you know, that's sort of another tip that I can think of which is if you're going to go down this road and like decide to start a business or be a business owner, get some coaching, because it's, you know, if you haven't done it before, if you've just been, you know, say you're in the military, very structured environment, or you're in the airlines, also a very structured environment. You get outside into the business world, nobody tells you how to do anything. You can do it any way you want. There's no SOPs. You got to write everything yourself. So look around for a business coach and some mentors that can help to guide you.
Yeah. And you'll be surprised in how helpful other business owners are. You know, there's so many organizations out there like GoBundance, EO, YPO, like all types of different organizations that have, you know, business leaders that are literally joining that group to sort of make sure that you have, you know, good leadership, good peer-to-peer groups, you know, helping you through whatever stage it is.
All right. So Ryan, one more thing that I'll kind of circle back to the airline contract. You know, we talked about finding all those different work rules to sort of work the system. There's also, you know, you can fly high time, you can fly low time, and you could also have opportunities to get into the training department, to become a line check pilot, to be a simulator instructor, to teach ground school. You know, I know a pilot that made over $100,000 in double time, just in double time pay, teaching ground school in doc because nobody wanted to do it. And so he was like the only guy that was checked out to teach in doc for like almost a year. And they were calling him every week. Hey, can you come in for double time? Can you come in for double time? There are those opportunities, right? So, you know, check out the office of the training department, see what's there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think just kind of wrapping this up, just really want to harp on do what you're passionate about.
Absolutely.
Right. Do what comes naturally. Don't force it. Do something that you really get a lot of reward from, right? Whether that be financially or just, you know, deep down inside you say, hey, this is really fun. I'm making a little bit of money and I'm having a really good time. Right. And the last thing is, you know, just kind of be mindful of, you know, it's not what you earn, it's what you keep. And so,
absolutely.
You know, if you want to do some things that mitigate your taxes, you know, think about like start with the end in mind and kind of work back into it. So really fun.
And I'll put a stamp on that by just saying, you know, keep in mind that every dollar you put away into, you know, a retirement account or a debt fund or, you know, a commercial real estate deal or your own Airbnb, whatever you're doing, that increases your net worth. It increases your cash flow. It increases your eventual comfort level years down the road. And, you know, I find that the more you grow your net worth, the more you love, you know, transitioning into the cash flow model. I love the debt fund that Spartan has, the debt fund that we have. There's a lot of other ones out there. You're paying around 10%. Think about that. $1,500 a month that you make, you throw it into a debt fund. What's 10%? $150, right? Doesn't seem like much, but it's $150 every single year. It's a really nice dinner out that you never have to pay for again, you know, and you multiply that out, you throw money over the fence. And over 10, 20, 30 years, I mean, that just compounds drastically.
Love it. Well, this has been my favorite topic, I think. Side hustles. Side hustles have been my jam.
I love that. Ryan says that every other show is your favorite show.
Well, it's the new favorite show. It's episode 149.
Heck yeah.
Well, if you guys have any side hustle ideas that you want us to dig into or research on or comment on, visit our Facebook forum. We love the conversations. Thanks for listening. As always, drop us a review if you like this episode and let us know how we're doing.
I'll do you one better. Find an episode that you really like and send it to your friend that might not be a listener yet. That's the best thing you can do for us. We really are putting a lot of effort into this show. I know that it's just been Ryan and I the last few weeks. We've been working on some spectacular guests that are upcoming. If you could spread the word, I know I talk to people all the time that say, oh, somebody recommended the show. Thank you. If you're recommending the show, please pass the word on because that helps us grow the audience. That way we can show our numbers to, you know, bigger and bigger guests that'll come onto the show. It really helps us to grow the community and grow the quality content that we're delivering.
With that, catch you on the next one.